Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Oh, hello everybody. We are in 6 a.m. soap. We are in the lesser known book of Amos today. I'm going to ask Nicole to read and then we'll jump into this book.
All right. Good morning. Amos 1, starting in verse 1, I'm reading in the NIV version. The words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, the vision he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah and Jeroboam, son of Joash, was king of Israel. He said, "The Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up, and the top of Carmel withers. This is what the Lord says, 'For three sins of Damascus, even four, I will not relent, because she threshed Gilead with sledges having iron teeth. I will send fire on the house of Hazael that will consume the fortress of Ben-Hadad. I will break down the gate of Damascus. I will destroy the king who is in the valley of Avon, and the one who holds the scepter in Beth Eden. The people of Aram will go into exile to Kir, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says, 'For three sins of Gaza, even four, I will not relent, because she took captive whole communities and sold them to Edom. I will send fire on the walls of Gaza that will consume her fortresses. I will destroy the king of Ashdod and the one who holds the scepter in Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron till the last of the Philistines are dead, says the sovereign Lord. This is what the Lord says, 'For three sins of Tyre, even four, I will not relent, because she sold whole communities of captives to Edom, disregarding a treaty of brotherhood. I will send fire on the walls of Tyre that will consume her fortresses. This is what the Lord says, 'For three sins of Edom, even four, I will not relent, because he pursued his brother with a sword and slaughtered the women of the land, because his anger raged continually and his fury flamed unchecked. I will send fire on Teman that will consume the fortresses of Bozrah. This is what the Lord says, 'For three sins of Ammon, even four, I will not relent, because he ripped open the pregnant women of Gilead in order to extend his borders. I will set fire on the walls of Rabbah that will consume her fortresses amid war cries on the day of battle, amid violent winds on a stormy day. Her king will go into exile and his officials together, says the Lord.'"
Thank you, Cole. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we look into this now, that you would bring revelation, you bring application, and we just commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I don't know about you, but when I saw it was Amos 1, I was like, oh, this is going to be a challenge. And not that it's just different, and Amos is one of the minor prophets and not often covered. So you don't often hear quotes from like Amos, but there is one famous one that will come up later on. Okay, so Amos is one of the 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament. Amos was a shepherd, and we'll see later in Amos chapter 7 that he was a dresser of sycamore fig trees. So, common working man. He came from Tekoa, which was a small town in the southern kingdom of Judah near Bethlehem. A time period There's different opinions on this, but it's during the reigns of King Uzziah of Judah and King Jeroboam the second of Israel. So around 750, 760 BCE, and his mission obviously was clear. He was sent to prophesy primarily to the northern kingdom of Israel. So some of the messages that we'll look into here, obviously a lot of social justice. He strongly condemns the wealthy and the powerful in Israel for opposing the poor and exploiting the vulnerable. Now, it is a famous verse that you'll see will pop up later, not today. Amos 5, where it says, "Let justice roll down like waters, like an ever-flowing stream." So that is kind of Amos's claim to fame. So some other messages we'll look at here is religious hypocrisy. Amos warns that these outward religious rituals are meaningless without righteousness and justice. So look into that. Divine judgment. Amos announces that God will punish Israel and neighboring nations for their sins. And then also we have this theme of restoration, hope and restoration, which comes up later in Amos 9, a lot more, but we'll see a little bit of that today. Okay, so let's jump into the beginning of this. Amos 1, verses 1 and 2. Okay, so it says, "The words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, the vision he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake when King Uzziah was king of Judah and Jeroboam, son of Joash, was king of Israel." Okay, so these are the words of Amos, and he's obviously a shepherd. Oh, he's not a priest, he's not a prophet, he's not a nobleman, he's just a shepherd and most likely a fig farmer from a small Judean village. But here's the thing, God still calls him to speak to Israel. They are a wealthy and powerful nation at the time, but they had grown spiritually complacent. So a lot of wealth, but their morals, their spirituality had completely dropped off. So Amos says he saw these words, meaning that he had a vision, right? So it came through divine revelation. It wasn't his personal opinion. God gave him a vision. And his prophecies were God's perspective on the reality of the day. So he continues in verse 2, he says, "The Lord's voice is compared to a roaring lion." Now, of course, that's very symbolic of what? So it symbolizes power, right? God's word shakes the heavens and the earth, the roaring lion. excuse me, judgment, right? God's roar warns of coming justice. And then, of course, authority. When he speaks, everything, everyone must respond. Okay, so again, this happens during the reigns of Uzziah, which is Judah, and then Jeroboam the second, which is Israel. So it's a time of peace and prosperity, I can't say the word. There's deep moral decay happening. So Israel thought that its wealth and stability were signs of God's favor, but Amos is going to reveal the opposite, that it's really not. So prosperity without righteousness invites judgment. I'm going to say that again. Prosperity or, success without righteousness invites judgment. So here's the application for this section. The first thing is that God uses ordinary people to deliver extraordinary truth, right? So here we have Amos, who's a a shepherd. He's not a person that had status or credentials, only obedience. God's voice still roars today through scripture and through the Holy Spirit, right? Calling people to repentance, justice, and holiness. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." But God's word brings revelation. God's verse, voice brings, it reveals things. The word of God is powerful and active. Okay, so the other thing we need to take away from this is just like God raised up Amos for his generation, God still raises up voices in our generation. They may not be preachers or teachers. They could be parents, workers, students, anyone who speaks truth in love, right? So you don't need a title to be a messenger of God's word. You just need a surrendered heart. You just need that willingness to speak God's word when necessary. Okay, so a couple of reflection questions. So, what excuses do we make for not speaking up when God prompts us? So we got a guy like Amos who was a shepherd. God gives him a vision, he responds, and he speaks. Second question is, where do you sense God roaring in your life? So, what is God calling to your attention or to take action on? Okay, so what is that? What is the Holy Spirit loudly saying that you may be not responding to? Okay, and then the third question here is, how might God use your ordinary life for extraordinary influence? So none of us are that special, right? But it might be something really specific that is calling us to do. And now let's take a look at verses 3 through 15. Okay, so before turning to Israel, Amos pronounces judgment on six surrounding nations. So Israel likely agreed with all these condemnations, but this was Amos's words, right? So God's justice is not partial. He holds all of us accountable. So as we look at these six different areas, each one begins with the same pattern, right? And you probably noticed there's for three sins of this place, and even four, I will not relent, right? So God's saying, the nations have sinned repeatedly, and God has reached the limit of his patience, right? So he's saying, for three transgressions, for three sins, and for four, I'm not looking the other way. I see it, and my patience is run out. So he starts with Damascus, which is another name for Damascus, would be Syria. And he says, this is 3 to 5. They threshed Gilead with threshing sledges of iron. So this describes savage cruelty. They use weapons that tore people apart like grain on a threshing floor. And the judgment was their palaces and strongholds will be destroyed, their king taken captive. So what do we learn? God sees and judges violence. He sees cruelty and dehumanization, and there is accountability before God, right? So, some reflection questions here. How can followers of Christ model peace and compassion in a violent world? I mean, we just have to look around us in the world today. There's so much violence going on. But how can we Model peace and compassion. Second question is, in what ways do we participate in or ignore systems of violence, whether it be physical, verbal, or emotional? Okay, so again, how can we be bringers of peace and compassion in a world that is physically, verbally, and emotionally violent? So what is it we can do? Okay, so then the second place he addresses is, I'm just gonna do this for a second, is Gaza, which is also known as Philistia. And they were known for, oops, get the video back. They were known for capturing entire communities, taking them into slavery, selling them into slavery. And the judgment is that God will cut off their power and destroy their cities. So again, we see God condemns this human exploitation, this trafficking, because why? Every person bears his image. No one is disposable. Is that God opposes systems that profit from oppression. So here's the reflection question for us. Where do we see exploitation or injustice in our community or our world? And what can we do to stand with God, for truth and to come against this type of exploitation and injustice? Okay, verses 9 and 10. It says, for three sins of Tyre, even for four, I will not relent. Again, God's going, I see what's going on. It is consequences. Okay, sorry, I lost my place here. This is 9 and 10. Okay, because you sold. Wait, we just did that one, right? We are in Tyre. Okay. Because you sold whole communities of captives to Edom, disregarding a treaty of brotherhood, I will send fire on the walls of Tyre that will consume her fortresses. Okay, so Tyre, another name for the area is Phoenicia. So we have betrayal and broken promises. They betrayed the covenant of brotherhood and sold allies into slavery. God says, I will send fire upon their walls. So what's God's value here? God's value is faithfulness. And we see broken trust and greed, corrupt relationships, a lot of destruction. So in our modern culture, promises and integrity often feel optional, right? I mean, business, politics, personal life. And I think what God is telling us that God honors truth and loyalty, right? He calls us to be dependable and trustworthy and loyal. But of course, loyal to him, not loyal to, those that are not reflecting God's values. So, question, where have you been tempted to compromise integrity or gain or comfort? Okay, so what are those times that we possibly compromise integrity or our own gain or our own comfort? And what does it mean to be a promise keeper? Because it says they broke their promise, right? They broke the what's the way to use? He says the treaty of brotherhood, right? So what does it mean to be a promise keeper in your place of work, in your family, in your friendships, right? What does it mean? Can people rely on you? So what does it mean to be a promise keeper for you? Okay, let's move on to Adam. Again, he says, for the three sins of Adam, even for four, I will not relent. So for Adam, we see this, it says, he pursued his brother with a sword, slaughtered the woman of the land because his anger raged continually and his fury flamed unchecked. I will send fire on Teman. I will consume the fortresses of Bozrah. Okay, so Adam pursues his brother with a sword. So they were related to Israel. So these are the descendants of Esau. Edom never let go of its grudge. So God says, I will destroy their cities and fortresses. So again, consequences, consequences. What's the lesson? Bitterness. Because there's a grudge that has been held here. Bitterness destroys nations and individuals. God judges the spirit of vengeance because it resists forgiveness and love. So our world is full of these cycles of revenge, right? Family feuds, tensions, international conflict. So God is calling us to be peacemakers who break these cycles through forgiveness. Let's talk a little bit about how do we break that cycle through forgiveness. So the first thing is we have to acknowledge the hurt honestly, right? So forgiveness isn't pretending nothing happened, but it does begin by naming the wound before God, right? So we have to acknowledge the hurt honestly. What is it? Amos expresses Edom's sin, so healing can start with truth. Psalm 62:8 says, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Okay, so we break the cycle. Step one, acknowledge the hurt honestly. What is it? Second part is remember God's forgiveness toward you. We can forgive because we've been forgiven, right? So what Jesus did on the cross for us brought forgiveness to us, and therefore we can forgive. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. When we remember how much mercy we've received, how much grace we've received, maybe that softens our heart towards others, right? Because when we've been given grace from God Himself, we should be giving that grace to others. Right? So remember God's given us toward you. Okay, the third point here is release the right to retaliate. Okay, forgiveness doesn't deny justice. And entrust it to God. All right. Romans 12:19 says, do not take revenge. It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. So judgment belongs to God, not to us. So forgiveness doesn't deny justice. It entrusts it to God. So releasing revenge breaks the cycle of you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you, right? That's a very destructive cycle. No one is benefiting. Okay, so release the right to retaliate. So let's back up real quick. So one was acknowledge the hurt honestly. Two was remember God's given us toward you. Three is release the right to retaliate. So yes, four, pray for those who have hurt you. Why? Because prayer transforms resentment into compassion. Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The act of praying for an enemy begins to change your heart even before theirs changes. Okay, so sometimes it's about changing my heart before someone else's heart's going to change. Okay, five. Pursue reconciliation where possible. So forgiveness opens the door for reconciliation. It doesn't always mean restoration of trust immediately. That might take time, right? But it means refusing to let bitterness rule your life. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Okay? If it is possible, of course, if there's other people, there's always other people involved. It gets complicated, but we need to open the door for reconciliation. Okay, so to wrap up these couple of verses, the cycle of bitterness exists not just between nations, but in families, friendships, churches, communities, wherever you look. And forgiveness is the only force strong enough to stop those cycles. So when we, God's people, when we choose grace over revenge, okay, that reflects God's heart in a divided world. So sometimes we have to choose grace over what, every time we should choose grace over revenge. Okay, so a couple of questions here. Who do you need to forgive? Right, who's in that cycle that needs to be broken? How would praying for an enemy change your heart? Okay, someone that you have conflict with. And then how could your forgiveness impact your community, your family, whatever it is? Okay. Let's look at verses 13 through 15. Excuse me. So now he's talking to Ammon. He says, for three sins of Ammon, even for four, I will not relent, because he ripped open the pregnant woman of Gilead in order to extend his borders. I will set fire to the walls of Rabbah that will consume their fortresses. And he goes on. So Ammon, I know the theme here is greed and disregard for life. They murdered pregnant women, all kinds of atrocities. And he says, basically, a violation of human life. And he says, the king will go into exile and the cities will burn. So God condemns greed that devalues human life, right? Ambition that destroys others will face divine judgment. So, again, people have value. God loves all people. And God sees that. It says, sorry. So if we look at kind of a modern application here, today's culture often sacrifice people, not physically, but people in terms of maybe career, in terms of value, in terms of all kinds of different things. But culture often sacrifice people for progress, whether for exploitation or through neglect, or maybe neglect of the poor. But God calls his people to value every human life as sacred. Okay, so reflection question. In what ways do we prioritize personal gain over compassion for others? Okay, so I think sometimes we do this without thinking. Sometimes we do this unintentionally, but it happens, right? Sometimes personal gain is prioritized over compassion for others. And then as believers, how can we be voices of life and mercy and justice for others, right? So how do we see people the way that God sees them? How do we value every human life as sacred? Okay, so let me just summarize kind of some of these key themes here. So as we look at Amos 1, we said God's justice is universal, right? He doesn't play favorites. All nations and people are accountable to his standards. The second thing is God's patience has limits, right? So persistent sin eventually meets God's judgment, right? We must not confuse patience with permission. The third kind of theme here is God values life, integrity and compassion. So all these sins listed in Amos 1 violates one of those things, life, integrity, or compassion. So we see cruelty, greed, betrayal, hatred, disregard for life. And then the last big theme here is God's people are not exempt. So Amos begins with the nations to make a point. But if God judges them, how much more should his own people, how much more should we know better? And you'll see that in Amos 2 when we get into Amos 2. Okay, so here's some closing remarks. Amos 1 reminds us that God's justice still roars today, right? God's word speaks loudly. He sees all the acts of cruelty, broken promises, hidden injustice, and he calls us, his people, to be the opposite of that. People of mercy, honesty, forgiveness, and love. And so, for our own personal growth, is a few questions. So, where do I see injustice around me? Right? How might God be calling me to respond? Is there a relationship, habit, or attitude that I need to repent of before it leads to judgment? Right? Because God is patient, but let's not confuse patience with permission. Okay, and then how can I use my ordinary life like Amos to carry God's extraordinary truth, right, that gospel message to others? How can I carry that message? So thank you for tuning in to Amos 1. Let me pray for you guys, and then we'll get you back to your day. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the words of Amos. We thank you for the ways that he's highlighted that you're a God of mercy, compassion, that every life is sacred. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us hear your voice like a loud roar, Father, that we would move forward in faith, not in fear, that you would give us courage to speak for you, compassion to love others, humility to live justly in a very unjust world. Father, would you use us today? Father, would you allow your word of application to sink deeply into our hearts and into our actions? And Father, would you raise us up to be a people of action today? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, everyone. Have a great day.